Moms, are you raising your kids to believe they can create the life of their dreams? Are you living your life that way as well? Living an awakened life means more than just talking about it. Join host Debbie Pokornik on Vibrant, Powerful Moms as she shares practical tips, stories, and interviews with enlightened guests, all geared at helping you create and live an extraordinary life. It's time to stand firmly in your power and model the life you want for your kids to inherit. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you create a life you love at work, at home, and at play. Today, my guest is Dina Marais, who is an online business success coach that lives in South Africa. Dina supports coaches and entrepreneurs to monetize both their passion and wellness to create financial and time freedom. As a coach qualified in applied neurosciences, she focuses on helping her clients to develop mindset energy vibration alignment with their vision and teaches them how to use spiritual laws to manifest their next big business goals in 90 days or less. Today, Dina is here to help us discover the surprising benefits of letting go of control. Dina, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Oh, thank you, Debbie. It's so great to be here.
Oh, so happy to have you here. And I mean, this is evening time for you compared to us. It's daytime. Well, I guess it depends on which airing of the show they're listening to anyway. But still, I appreciate your giving up your evening. That's very nice.
Oh, no problem. I'm used to that.
I guess you are. So I always like to start the show by learning a bit more about you personally. I'm hoping that maybe you could share a little bit about yourself, such as, are you a mom? Have you always lived in South Africa? Because I find that very intriguing. What helps you to be a vibrant, powerful woman? Just a couple of things that really stand out as being relevant for us here today.
I've been born in South Africa, so I've always lived here my whole life.
Okay.
And I've been married for 36 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you know, as they say, you're going to kill them sometime, but never thought of divorce.
There you go.
And we have three children. Our daughter is about 33 and she lives in Madrid. My middle son is 30. He's a scuba diving instructor and a coach. And then my youngest son lives in Prague. So, and he's busy with internet traffic. So everybody's got their lives and the whole family wants to move to Prague eventually.
Right.
So that I can be close to my kids when the grandkids come.
Well, isn't that the case? I moved away from my family and my boys, they're both adults, but younger adults. So they're like 23 and 25. They stayed in Manitoba. And I said to my husband, I don't mind doing this right now. In fact, I think it's really good for us to firm those boundaries up and let them start living their own life. But if grandbabies come in, everything changes. Yeah. Nice. All right. So maybe you could tell us about the fear of losing control and how that affects us.
That's a very interesting fear because it's actually a universal fear. We have a few universal fears. We have the fear of not belonging, mm-hmm. Of abandonment and not being good enough. Mm-hmm. And then we have this fear of losing control. And that actually comes from it's very prevalent if you have had some trauma in your childhood, and I believe most adults have suffered some level of trauma in childhood just because of our perception of things,
right.
and then we feel safe when we can control. So, you know, and especially mothers. You know, once we know that everybody's happy, then we sort of have permission up and we're happy. Now we can be happy. Mm-hmm. And we want to rescue everybody. We want to make sure everybody is, we want to know where everybody is. So there are lots of things that we do, how it plays out in our life when we have this fear of losing control. So we worry about things. We want to check everything. We want to make sure everybody is in place. Mm-hmm. But of course, that we stress over money. We stress over the weight that we have, maybe still after a baby. And that is all because we're comparing ourselves, we're judging ourselves, that, you know, we're not good enough. So all these fears play together. And in the end, we put ourselves last in the queue. And that again leads to resentment. Because in the end, we feel that everybody's having a grand time with their lives, but nothing has happened, you know, for me. And that was actually a big lesson I learned when I was married as a young mother. Mm-hmm. If we could tell you the story, if you don't mind.
Sure, I'd love to hear it.
My husband, high corporate job, and just got a huge promotion as a young director. And of course, you know, that means lunches and dinners and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And I was very happy at home, staying at home mom with the kids. And then at one stage, Johan says, now he's going to start playing golf. So on every Saturday, so he works the whole week, leaves early, comes home late, and then on a Saturday he's going to play golf. So I told him one day, I said, you know what, that's not fair. Mm-hmm. Here I sit with the kids, week in, week out. You are never here, and now you're going to play golf. What do I do? Mm-hmm. I also want to go out with my friends. So he said, Dina, who's stopping you? You know, it hit me like a lightning bolt. And I thought to myself, that's right. I can organize something if I really wanted to go out. But do you see how the resentment starts playing?
I do.
Because we want to control everything. And now that is, whenever something is out of control, we feel, oh my gosh, you know, this is not going to be good. And especially if it touches us that we are not in the picture, then we build up that resentment as well.
Yes. You know, I have to tell you how much I can relate to that. In my case, my husband often traveled for work, and he would be gone, and I had these young kids at home, and I encouraged him back when the kids were little to go and get his pilot's license. And the next thing I knew, he decided he wanted to buy an airplane. And I said to him, I don't think now is a good time to buy an airplane because we've got young kids, you know. And so, yes, I think you should fly. Anyway, long story short, he bought a small airplane. And now, all of a sudden, he needed to be at the club where he kept the airplane at because there was this volunteer commitment. And it was this whole thing of resentment that came up for me because it was like, well, hold on a minute here. I need you here looking after the kids sometimes so I can take a break. And you're so right. I mean, in our case, we just needed to have some conversations about it and figure it out. But yeah. It was very, very true. I couldn't control that. That was his decision. And I've long since learned that I'm better off to figure out how to work with him on his decisions rather than try to control them because it's not going to happen.
So right. You're so right. And it's also because we don't voice our expectations, eh?
Yes.
We don't say, listen, this is what I want. How can we make that happen so that we both benefit by this?
Exactly.
So we keep quiet. And then we blame the other person because they don't read our minds.
Well, exactly. So how does this way of thinking, I mean, we've kind of touched on it in a way, but how does this way of thinking affect our family?
Well, we definitely go into over-responsibility. So we take responsibility for everybody, and especially also the children. A great example of that, again, is when we interfere with their schooling, we interfere with their projects. We want them to look good, but we want ourselves to look good.
Yes.
So whenever they are in trouble, we rescue them. So what happens then is they never develop coping skills. They never develop, something go wrong, how do I solve it myself? No, I don't have to because mommy is coming to rescue me. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, I remember my daughter was 8 and it was a Sunday night and she had a project that she had to hand in the next morning. It was a Sunday afternoon. So, and now she needed help. So I said, you know, Nadia, it's not, you know, I don't like to help you guys with your homework. That's your responsibility. But yes, okay, I will help you this one time. But I will never help you again. You must know this. If you know the project is due over a week or two, you can do something about that project every day so that you are right and ready. It was the last time she ever asked me for help. And I think that is so important, you know, because when we help our kids out all the time, they never learn how to do it for themselves. We rob them of their creativity. We rob them of their critical thinking skills. We rob them. We tell them that they are not good enough. That and that for me is the sad part, because that comes in with criticizing as well. So whenever they, you know, when they perform well, we love them and we praise them. And when they don't do so well, we either just ignore it, or we don't, or we scold them. You know, we make it known that we're not happy. And in doing that, we cultivate this culture of performance. And kids interpret that as, you know, I'm loved when I do well. I'm loved when I perform. So they start measuring their worth in terms of what they do and what they have and what their parents have and blah, blah, blah. So the whole thing comes on that we are, that our self-love becomes conditional.
Absolutely.
And that is something that I work with every person, that every client that I get, whether it's business, success, life, that is the thing. They compare themselves with other people. They judge themselves as not being good enough. And it all comes from that. And of course, that's exaggerated by the teachers. You know, the kids that do well, fantastic. The other ones, you know, you're sort of ignored. You sort of swept to the side. And so we grow up in this, in that culture. And then with the condition of being separate, so we feel we if we can just control things, then we feel safe.
Right. But that is an illusion. And we know that. You and I know that. An illusion of control. Yes, exactly. Well, and judgment is something that seems to be coming up quite a lot lately. And certainly it's something that I have been aware of and been working on for a very long time. And yet it's still, I mean, I still catch myself doing it all the time. And so I think it's important people realize that it's not that you're going to completely stop judging. It's that you want to learn how to become aware when you are judging, so that you're not using that to make yourself worthy. Because all that has to happen is someone does better than you. You judge they've done better than you. And all of a sudden, you're in that unworthy category as well. So I think that is so key. So how about we talk about letting go? What you mean when you say letting go, and perhaps even a couple of tips that a person could use to start letting go of things.
So letting go is really to accept where you are now. Doesn't matter, you know, what the context is, to accept where you are now and to surrender to what is. In other words, when you don't have to control things, what you have control over is your thoughts and your emotions. And it's to choose them to serve you and to serve whatever you want to create or whatever you want in the world. And when we let go, we have the idea of what we want, but we're not attached to it. We don't have that thing that we want to tell the universe, okay, fine. So listen, I need some money, okay? And it must come in this and this and this and this way.
Right. Like, right. I want to win the lottery tomorrow.
Yes. Okay.
Exactly.
I want $20,000 and I want to make it via doing this or receiving it in this way. Right. And you can't control that. So you have to pick your battles with the universe. And you can't battle the universe, number one.
Exactly.
You are just you have to let go and to trust. And the thing is, most people are ignorant of the universal laws. They don't trust it. They don't know about it. And they've never been taught about it. They've never been taught about energy, that everything is energy. And that we are energy and that we interact with the energy around us. So when we know how the spiritual laws work, in other words, that the thing that's most important is your vibration, is your energy vibration. And that just is a very fancy word for the state that you are in. In other words, how you feel.
Right.
Because how you feel is an energy field that you are sort of radiating, that you are broadcasting. And every feeling is associated with a thought. You can't have the one without the other. If you feel a certain way, you'll think up a thought that supports that feeling. If you think something, you will feel the associated feeling. So and that's what you have control over. You see, if you can control your mind in terms of choosing to think and feel good about things, thinking about what you want versus what you don't want. Because inevitably, if you want to control, if you have that fear of control, you're going to think about the things that you don't want. You're going to think about the lack instead of trusting that whenever you think, because that's the laws that people don't understand. We have the laws of vibration, but then we have the law of attraction. If most people know about the law of attraction, it attracts whatever you are vibrating at, the frequency. So whatever vibration you are at, if you're feeling good, you'll attract more good in your life. Simple as that. If you're feeling lack, you'll attract more lack in your life. The thing is, every thought is like a prayer. Every time you think, you are sending out an electromagnetic signal, and we get the law of perpetual transmutation. And that means that as all the thoughts out there are put into form. So as you think about what you don't want, the mind doesn't process not, or the universe doesn't process not. It gives you that thing without the not. Mm-hmm. So if you start having really very clear about something that you really would like in your life, a vision, maybe a new home, maybe a new baby, maybe a new job, if you really just start daydreaming about that and feel the good feelings about that and trust, that's the whole thing, the letting go. Just trust that that's how the laws work. That whenever you think of something that you really want and you feel what it would feel like, you will attract it into your life very quickly. But now what we do is we think of the thing that we want today, and tomorrow we start watching for it. So where is it? It's not here yet. Okay? So then we resist it. Then we start noticing, okay, the money's not in the bank yet. Okay, I haven't gotten that call yet of that job. I don't see any notice yet. So instead of trusting that everything takes time to come into form, we start pushing it away all the time. Mm-hmm. And if we can just accept that and just trust it and leave it, you know, like a farmer putting a seed in the ground, they're not going to scratch it up the next day and say, why haven't you grown yet?
Right. Because of the law of harvest.
And you do that. You nurture your seeds in your mind by feeding it good feelings, by feeding it good thoughts, by trusting. And stay in the present moment. Because if you're in the present moment, you are not worried about anything. Right? You only worry about things when you're not in the present moment.
Well, I get, yes, you're not worrying about things in the future, but I can see a situation where right in that present moment, your house is on fire. In that present moment, it's not
all
roses.
That's a total different scenario, you know.
But my point being that I don't want people to think that, you know, if you're in the present moment and there are challenging things happening to you, worry is just going to add to that, because worry is about the future. But in that moment, how you feel, just accept how you feel is what I'm understanding from you, Dina. Accept how you feel, maybe work towards the next best feeling, and trust that things are going to work out.
Yes, that is the most important thing. to just surrender and trust that everything will work out. Because if you think about it, it always does.
It does. But it doesn't always, just like you said, it doesn't always work out the way we thought it was going to work out. But yeah, so you might be really wanting to have a child and it might not work out that you become pregnant. That might not be the outcome. But something beautiful will come from it.
Mm. Absolutely. And it will surprise you.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
What a nice surprise.
Yes. You know, trust is got to be the most consistent message I have received in all the years now that I have been really connected with my higher self and having spirit guides and paying attention. Well, I've always had the spirit guides. I just didn't know how to talk to them or how to use them to my advantage. And trust is the thing. Trust with a capital T. Now, trust, Debbie, just trust.
Yes.
And it is a challenge. It really, really is.
And what's really important, what we also don't really just, you know, realize is that whatever we want to come into our lives, to manifest, mm-hmm. there's a much bigger picture than just what we want.
Yes.
So many things have got to move into place. You know, it's like the planets need to align. So many things, people, places, circumstances, et cetera, need to be in place because the universe won't give you what you want and take away from someone else.
Mm.
So everybody needs to benefit. But it takes time to move things around. And of course, and that's what I love about this, because if we can trust, we actually receive and see the most amazing miracles.
Yes.
You know, and because that is also the law, that the universe will bring you what you want, but in a total different way than you would ever expect it to happen.
Right.
Because we can only think so far, and we think according to what has happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think about the possibility. And that's the other thing, the trust thing that I nearly forgot to say, Debbie, is that people are so afraid of uncertainty, of the unknown.
Yes.
And that's actually your friend. That is your friend of possibility, of infinite possibility. Because if you know what's happening, it's in the past and it's probably what you don't want.
Perhaps, yes.
If you can open your heart, if you can open yourself to trust and know this universe is so powerful, is so creative. It's got all the contacts that you can ever dream of. And it can bring you whatever you desire. But you have to trust in the possibility of the universe, in the power of the creator.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's also that piece of recognizing that we've come here, each of us has come here to work through certain things. And so those things are still going to come up. And like you say, when you trust in the outcome, when you trust that things are going to work out, you can handle it so much more easily than if you're trying to control it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nice. Because if you don't trust, if you think you're separate, then you think that life happens to you.
Mm-hmm. Not for you.
And that it's, not for you.
Yeah.
But if you can trust that, you know what, if this comes my way, there must be a much better thing coming from this. There must be a wonderful outcome. There must be a blessing. I'm just waiting to see what that is.
Yes. And I mean, it's so beautiful, and it ties in with what you're saying about being in the moment, because in that moment is the moment to really enjoy each little thing that has happened, to find that place of contentment rather than looking into the future of, okay, but now I need this. Now I need this part fixed, or, you know, whatever.
Mm. Yes, it's really about appreciation.
Yes.
Appreciation for what is.
Right.
And, you know, because so often we can get so focused on what it is that we don't have or what we don't have yet. And yet, if we can just be really appreciative of what we have already, then more will come.
Right.
That is for me, gratitude and appreciation is key
Absolutely.
The universe to bring us what we want, yes.
So then what I have sort of picked up, even though I think there's a few that I missed, but the whole idea of being accepting what is, surrendering to it, trusting without trying to dictate an outcome, appreciating the moment, paying attention to your feelings and your thoughts and what you're putting out there, and really appreciating things. Is that a good summary?
That's an excellent summary.
Awesome.
And just one thing, one last thing, is how you see yourself is absolutely key. If you think that you're not worthy, you're going to have the biggest dreams in the world, nothing will happen. Mm-hmm. You have to own it. You have to become comfortable with it. You have to believe it for it to happen.
Beautiful.
So this whole thing about, you know, I'm not good enough, what, I come from childhood. Mm-hmm. Let that go, because that is just part of the past.
Beautiful.
It is not truth. Those beliefs don't even belong to you. You inherited them. It's not your beliefs.
Nice.
You took them on because of other, of your understanding of interactions with your parents or teachers or right. Grandparents or whoever.
Yeah, that darn baggage that we carry with us.
Yes, they don't belong to you. You just inherited that.
Right.
So you can really let it go, and because that also creates separation.
Right.
From source, from God, from
so,
the universe.
Dina, believe it or not, we have run right out of time. Oh. So I want to tell people how they can find out more about you. You can find out more about Dina by going to her website at dinamarais.com. So that's dinamarais.com. And you can also pick up her free ebook on how to manifest money and time freedom by going to a bit.ly link. So that is bit.ly/DinaFreeGuide. So Dina Free Guide is all one word. You can get both of those links if you want to copy and paste right off of the VibrantPowerfulMoms.com website. Just go to the page that has Dina's interview on it and you will find them right there. Dina, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I so appreciate you sharing both your time and your wisdom with us. And a big thank you to you, our listeners. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Dina Marais, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please share it with others to help spread the love. To find out more about Debbie, pick up free offers from the show, and listen to previous episodes, visit VibrantPowerfulMoms.com.